Well, it's good to have some sunshine for a while. In the bulletin this week, I'd like you to take a look inside later, and you'll find a special insert. It's a novena for the legal protection of human life. So Bishop Burbidge has asked us to participate in a 9-week prayer novena, the importance really being on Fridays, where we take time to do a penance, particularly some kind of fast and special prayer, again, for the sanctity of human life, which we know continues to be debated. So with that in mind, in our gospel passage today, we have a continuation. So recall last week, there was the miracle of the multiplying of the loaves and the fish. So Jesus performed this miracle, feeding this huge crowd of like 5,000 at least. Now, time has passed. The crowd has come seeking Jesus. Back in the gospel of last week, they looked for Jesus as the prophet. They wanted to make him a king. Now they search to find him, and they call him a rabbi. Who are they really looking for? Well, our Lord begins this discourse. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be traveling through the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the Bread of Life discourse. But the good question is, who are they really searching for? After all, are they looking for Jesus, who could do these miraculous things? Well, if so, which they are doing, they're looking for him on a superficial, a sensational kind of level. They are happy because their stomachs have been filled. They've been entertained. That's always easy. One always likes to be popular when the crowd is happy. But our Lord doesn't buy into that. Instead, our Lord identifies himself as the bread of life who has come down from heaven. He is the one who says to them, don't just look at this superficial, sensational sign. Look at the one who has performed it. Look at the God who is standing right in front of you. And there's the key. Jesus is identifying himself not just as the miracle worker, the prophet, the rabbi. He's identifying himself as the priest. The priest is the mediator, the one who brings God to mankind and mankind to God. The word priest in Latin is pontifex, which means bridge builder. So the priest is the bridge, and Jesus is that bridge between us and the Holy Trinity. He leads us to the presence, the fullness of life in God. So we have to consider then that who stands before this crowd who has performed and who has performed this miracle is the priest, who is the Lord and Savior. Jesus, by the will of the Father, entered this world, true God becoming true man. He perfectly has revealed God. So he perfectly, by his word and actions, has revealed the truth and love of God. He is the Word of God incarnate. His role as priest, though, comes to the climax when he offers himself as the sacrifice on the cross. He as priest offers himself as the victim, as a sacrifice for our sins, to reconcile us, to bridge that chasm caused by sin, to bring us back into the love of the Father. But then, too, our Lord, through his resurrection and ascension, has opened the gates of heaven so that we have the hope of everlasting life. So the great miracle of all is really who Christ is and what he does. His saving action, though, then continues on as we think of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, and also the priesthood that Christ entrusted to his apostles that has still been handed on through the sacrament of holy orders to priests to this very day. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we gather here for Mass, we really are here not as spectators, not to be entertained, but to be worshiping Almighty God. We aren't here just to have our stomachs filled with something and to leave satisfied. We're here to really be united with Christ. This is what the Holy Mass is really about. My role as priest is to be that mediator, really to be the one through whom Christ works. So during the Mass, as a priest, I lead us in prayer. We then have our readings. But when it comes time for the gospel, it is the priest who proclaims the gospel. These are the words of Jesus. So it's like Jesus is speaking through his priest. Then comes the sacrifice. This is really the climax. And this is what Pope St. John Paul II said. Through the sacrament of holy orders, a man offers his humanity to Christ so that Christ may use him as an instrument of salvation, making him, as it were, into another Christ. And this is most clear in the sacrifice of the Mass. So the priest, in the person of Christ, offers the Mass, the sacrifice that participates in the everlasting, ever-present reality of our Lord's sacrifice of Good Friday and his resurrection. Also, what was given at the Last Supper. The priest is offering, in a sacramental way, in an unbloody way, the sacrifice of Christ. So with that, when it comes time to the words of consecration, you notice how the priest uses first person. It's present tense. I say, this is my body. This is my blood. That is like Christ. Christ is really speaking. And at those words, which are Jesus' words, that bread and wine is truly transubstantiated into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ bridges the gap once again. He comes to share his life with us, to bring us into union with the fullness of the love of the Holy Trinity. And so, my brothers and sisters, what a great gift the Holy Eucharist is. But remember, too, without the priest, it's not going to happen. It takes the ordained priest who has that authority given by Christ to the apostles that has been handed on. Well, with that, it's through the Eucharist, then, that we really have that bread of life that unites us as one body in one spirit with the Lord. It's that bread of life that gives us the foretaste of heaven, the bread of life that unites us with the love of the Holy Trinity. Then, having received the Eucharist, and at the end of Mass, having received the blessing, we go forth. But then there's the challenge, because St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that we don't go forth then to be like the Gentiles, the pagans. We go forth as Christians. We don't go forth leaving everything behind here, but taking the Lord with us. We go forth to strive to live that life of holiness and righteousness. And this is a real challenge for all of us here. But when we think of this, you too play a very important role. Through baptism, all of us do share in some way in the priesthood of Christ, meaning we share in his work. Granted, I am an ordained priest through the sacrament of holy orders, but all of us, through baptism, share in his work. So never forget that. When you come here, you're here to worship. You're here to offer your sacrifice. This is why the priest even invites you to say, pray that my sacrifice and yours. You're called to lay your life on that altar, just as there is bread and wine. Your life, of whether it's joys, sorrows, struggles, whatever it may be, you're giving your life to the Lord. And with that, the Lord is filling you up with his life to sustain you, to give you that bread of life. How beautiful that is. With that, then, you go forward to continue his work. My brothers and sisters, then, as we go through this first segment of the Bread of Life discourse, pause and consider the important role of the priest who stands for Christ, as unworthy as he is, as poor person as he really is. Take time this week to pause and think about the priests who have served you in your life. Think about praying for your priests, praying for our seminarians. This is so important. You well know the troubles that our church has had in recent years. You know the troubles caused recently by the former Cardinal Archbishop McCarrick. That's sad. And I've had people tell me they're angry. And in a righteous way, they ought to be angry. They tell me how they're hurt. They ought to be hurt because this is a scandal. Well, think how I feel as a priest for 34 years now, and you see this happen, and you see the complicity of others involved. So pray for your priests. It's not easy for us either. Think of how it might affect someone like a young Father Scheer or a young Father Farrell. Think how it affects a seminarian like our seminarian Mike. Not easy. Pray for your priests. So very important. We need your prayers. We need your support. Yes, sadly, like in any life situation, they're the bad apples. And remember, in the apostles, there was the Judas. I oftentimes think, though, what Fulton Sheen said. Archbishop Sheen said, the devil knows he can't conquer the church from the outside, but he'll try from the inside. And where's the place to do it? The priest. Because you strike the shepherd, the flock's going to scatter. But nevertheless, think of what a good priest and a good parish can do to affect the lives of others. Today, coincidentally, is the feast day of St. John Vianney, who's the patron saint of parish priests. Now, he was born in 1787 in France. This was a troubled time. The French Revolution comes. The church is outlawed. When he makes his first communion, he does something illegal. That was forbidden by law. Then comes the age of Napoleon and all the wars. Nevertheless, he wanted to be a priest. Poor peasant that he was, he struggled with the academics. Nevertheless, in 1815, he was finally ordained. It took the intercession of his pastor. The bishop knew the struggles of St. John and wondered, will this guy have the ability to function? And he asked the pastor, is he good? And the pastor said, yes, he's a very good man. So St. John was ordained. 2 years later, he was appointed pastor of the little village of Ars in southern France near Lyon. And there the bishop said to him, and with great words of encouragement, there's not much love for God there. Great. So St. John goes to the little town of Ars, about 300 people. No one's going to church. The church is dilapidated, but they do have 7 bars and brothels in the town. Go figure. So St. John prays, and he says that he prays, God, grant me the conversion of my parish. I consent to suffer whatever you wish for as long as I live. So he begins. He starts rebuilding his little parish church, refurbishing it. He starts preaching. He goes to the bars and the brothels, and eventually they close because of his preaching and influence. People leave those and start coming back to church. He's teaching the children the catechism. He's preaching at Mass and encouraging people to come not only for Mass but for benediction. And with that, he said, all good works put together are not equivalent to the sacrifice of the Mass, because they are the works of men, and the Holy Mass is the work of God. He encourages confession, and eventually he's hearing confession sometimes 10 or more hours a day. Well, a whole conversion took place, not just in Little Ars, but the whole surrounding area. By the time of his death in 1858, 80,000 people a year were visiting Ars just to go to confession, attend Mass, hear a sermon by St. John Vianney, this poor, humble servant. One good priest, one good parish can change a whole community. So my brothers and sisters, as we prepare to continue through this journey of the Bread of Life discourse, take this time to pray for your priests. Pray for seminarians. Defend. Respect your priests. Encourage others. Because where would we be without our priests? May God bless you.